It's E-Commerce Minute, your weekly dose of e-commerce, tech, and retail news with your hosts, John Suter, Bart Meraz, and Brittany Blackman. The E-Commerce Minute is a production of Sumo Heavy, a digital commerce consulting firm in Brooklyn, New York, and Philadelphia. Find us on the web at sumoheavy.com.
It's the E-Commerce Minute, episode 785.
These are top stories in e-commerce, tech, and retail for the week of February 22nd, 2021. Our first story, Amazon has bought up Sydney-based e-commerce platform Sells. The platform works much in the way that Shopify or BigCommerce does, as in it provides an e-commerce-ready backend for small businesses to utilize when creating their websites. Founded in 2013, Sells is based in Sydney, Australia, and provides small and medium-sized businesses with a platform to launch their own online stores and add online payment options to existing websites, among other tools. It's an interesting move for a few reasons, especially since Amazon previously offered its own suite of tools called Web Store. That service was shuttered in 2016. The fact that it's now changing its mind with the purchase of an existing platform is telling, to say the least. It says there's something to the idea that vendors want more control of their sales process rather than being a part of a massive mix of competition at Amazon.com. While the exact reasoning behind such a deal is clear, the reason Amazon specifically selected Sells isn't. According to Bloomberg, the acquisition could signal a shift in how Amazon seeks to grow its position in the e-commerce industry, no longer aiming to get all the sellers on its marketplace, and instead working with them behind the scenes to provide a white label shopping experience powered by Amazon's platform. The option could be attractive for businesses looking to avoid Amazon's commission and delivery fees, though the difference between the two options are currently unknown. The company isn't publicly traded and it doesn't disclose its fiscal results. Amazon has said nothing about the acquisition either, other than to confirm it. Plus, given its obscurity, Sells isn't as big a market leader as Shopify or even as big as its smaller rival, BigCommerce. The two publicly traded entities sport market caps of $169 billion with a B and $5 billion with a B, respectively. In reality, the relatively limited deal with Sells suggests that Amazon is more interested in Sells technology than its existing customer base and might be looking to run a cheap experiment in the arena before it makes a bigger investment and a bigger acquisition down the road. Shopify, they're coming for you.
Meh.
They're not gonna, yeah, but they see the secret sauce in Shopify and they're like, we could do that too.
Yeah, I mean that's just given, right? Amazon's not gonna let other people kind of
do anything.
play in their world. I mean, listen, Shopify is going after everything, right? They're building their own. So transportation, they're trying to be this bigger player in the space. You know, obviously we don't know internals. I mean, they're a public company, but if you look at it, they serve what 80 to 90% of their businesses are tiny, you know, that they serve. It's not huge businesses, which is funny because most of those businesses also sell on Amazon or Walmart or any other marketplace, right? So there's definitely a crossover there, but is this kind of what I find it funny with this thing is like, wait, Amazon did this before. They had a e-commerce platform.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden they're doing this like, oh, let's just build our small little tiny platform too.
Yeah.
Again.
I think the interesting thing now is I think a lot of the small sellers, you know, when you think about what was it called, web stores or web shops or whatever the heck it was, that was over 5 years ago. The landscape has changed a lot. There's a lot more. What we're seeing now is a lot of platforms are pivoting to digital goods because it's obviously cheaper as in less costly, as in you don't have to ship the goods. So digital goods are a cheaper way for people to sell things, and Sells does that. And I mentioned to you this morning, Teespring, which is that print on demand fulfillment thing, they've rebranded to call themselves Spring, and they're getting into digital goods because what they're finding is a lot of these artists that want to sell stuff, it's a lot, just a lot of digital stuff. And what's easier than selling a couple of, you know, bits of information as opposed to printing and selling a shirt?
I mean, that's just a normal, like, it's going to be a lot bigger. And then we're going to have to do an episode at one point on NFTs, which is another like crazy thing.
I'm trying to wrap my head around that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, but like you can see, you know, I'm glad that digital goods are getting, you know, more play. I mean, in reality, you know, used to be, remember Second Life? I mean, that was a big, huge place, right? That was
anywhere. A whole other economy, bought us. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's also like, there's always been inclinations since the internet of these little, you know, type of things where you buy and trade, digital goods, right? I mean, you can kind of say this about Bitcoin. It's the same thing. But I'm glad that artists are having a better time doing that and people are interested in it since, you know, especially in the pandemic world. But I think it's a better way to sell things. Like, you know, you there's still starving artists, but there's a better way sort of channel your artistry or your creativeness out there, right?
I'm not a full-time freelancer anymore, so I can't really, you know, I'm not in the trenches anymore, but I do see how technology has aided the ability for artists to not just, oh, I build you a website, but also I've designed some stickers, mugs, shirts, all that kind of stuff, that kind of merch that helps add to the bottom line. Because, you know, with freelance design or anything, or even web development, it's either feast or famine. And you need those gaps in between. And these platforms really help the artist kind of get their name out there and sell some merch. And also, and looking at the sales platform here, I think, again, what the article states is it's probably someone who runs stuff on Amazon would probably have this in tandem. I don't see this as a separate thing. I would see it as you, I mean, if you're a smart business person and you're selling, I don't know, if you're into selling laundry detergent, you want to sell the laundry detergent across all the marketplaces. You're not just going to silo yourself into one. But this gives, I would say this gives merchants an opportunity to do more of a more branding and more of creating their own brand, as opposed to Joe, the guy who sells detergent on Amazon, and maybe grow it into something else. That's just my guess from a branding perspective, but interesting deal. Again, we'll keep an eye and see what they do with this. You know, it could be one of those in 6 months from now, they shut it down or whatever, but good for the right. Sells. We don't have any numbers here, so we can't really say who made out where, but good for them. All right, we're going to go to the next story. Peapod launches new initiatives. The entrepreneurs who founded pioneering e-grocer Peapod have been busy lately. They've launched a new site called Sifter and are working with the giant company to pilot automated micro-fulfillment technology at an e-commerce facility in Philadelphia. Sifter.shop helps people identify foods according to their dietary and lifestyle requirements and then add those to an online cart with a partner retailer. Rather than launch another online grocery company and all the shipping inventory challenges that come with it, brothers Andrew and Thomas Parkinson established a service that helps consumers identify the right products for them, develop diet plans and recipes, then drop those products into online carts with their preferred retailers. The company's tool lets shoppers apply filters while they shop, including more than 100 dietary filters or SIFT tags in categories like allergens, medical conditions, lifestyle-oriented diets, and medication. It also organizes items according to responsible practices like non-GMO, fair trade, grass-fed, and raised without antibiotics. The Sifter.shop platform also includes a feature that lets users peruse recipes designed by dietitians, then determine whether the ingredients in a particular recipe reflects their needs. The company is working with retailers including Walmart, Amazon, and Stop & Shop, and expects to announce additional partnerships with other grocers. And on the technology side, Peapod Digital Labs is working with the giant company to pilot automatic micro-fulfillment technology at an e-commerce facility the grocer is developing here in Philadelphia. The new facility, which is expected to handle about 15,000 orders per week for delivery to customers' homes in Philly's Center City and South Philadelphia sections, combines technology from AutoSave and SwissLog with proprietary manual picking capabilities developed by Peapod Digital Labs. So you didn't hear about Peapod for 15 years. Now all of a sudden they got two big things going on.
Well, the original guys, because they got bought out and stuff like that, I think there's move around that. Somebody was trying to resurface it again and build stuff out.
Resurface the Peapod brand or?
Branded the company. I mean, as soon as pandemic hit, that probably just exploded their whole world into goodness, because Peapod is used by, they're owned by Giant, I think, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, because if you go to the Giant facility, there's always Peapod trucks out back. So yes, the brand owns, still exists, right, but not as its thing. It's, I guess.
No, not like the original, right? Not the original. Basically, they were the original, was the first delivery of food, right? Webvan. Oh, that's who it was. Webvan was trying to come back. I forgot. The original owners of Webvan were trying to bring it back. But Peapod was the other, that basically was Webvan, then Peapod, and then everybody else, right? And I think that the only person that kind of did it differently was Fresh Direct, where they don't have actual stores.
Right.
Wow, that's a part. But.
So this is pretty interesting. I'm going to focus on the Sifter thing because we can talk about robots all day, but that's, whatever. the Sifter thing is actually a little bit more interesting in the way that it's set up. I really like the UI because it basically guides you. You take a look at it and it starts at browse products, my diet profile, Judy's insight. So she's the head of nutrition, this lady, Judy. And then you can go by category, aisles, diets, responsible practices, health diets, allergies and concerns, and medications compatible with. And as you drill down, it gets narrower and narrower until, you know, if you're trying to be a really healthy person, it probably just says drink a lot of water. But yeah, this is pretty cool. See, what's really cool about this, instead of just your typical grocery site, the focus really is on the nutrition. Like the nutrition facts, that standard USDA nutrition facts label is very prominent on the site, as is calories, fat, sodium. And then it also, what their proprietary thing, I guess, is these SIFT tags. So I'm looking at, I just clicked on something called Joe's Fish Fry. I have no idea what it is. I guess it's just something you cook fish in. And it tells you the different diets that it's compatible with, product highlights. Yeah, this is pretty interesting. The one thing to consider about this, you know, again, we're just giving this a cursory glance. We don't really understand how they make money because I don't see any subscription on here. And I'm not really seeing pricing being real prominent here. So when it says choose a retailer, buy now. Okay. So it redirects you. So if you find a product that you like, I'm on this Nature's Promise organic milk. When you say buy now, the button expands and gives you one, two, three, four, gives you five buttons, different retailers, Stop and Shop, giant food stores, and search Google. So what happens when you search Google? It'll let you go search for it. I don't understand how they're making money from this, but it's pretty cool. It's a great idea. Again, there's no pricing evident on here. I know they're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts, so we'll have to look into this further, but pretty cool. It's called sifter.shop, and obviously the other robotic thing, robots of the future, they're coming for your jobs. All right, let's move on. All right, for our next story, Olive, it's a delivery box alternative. Nate Faust has spent years in the e-commerce business, first as VP at Quizzy, then co-founder and COO at Jet, and then as senior vice president at Walmart. So he must know what he's doing. Last week, he launched a project of his own. That project is Olive, a delivery box alternative for fashion shoppers seeking more convenience and sustainability. For members who download the app or Chrome extension, the company compiles their fashion purchases across retailers into a single tote or shipper to be delivered at a chosen cadence. The tote is then picked up or used to make returns via the shopper's doorstep. To date, Olive has secured hundreds of brands and retail partners, including Outdoor Voices, Revolve, and Saks Fifth Avenue. Olive is free to consumers in that there's no surcharge on brands' usual shipping costs. The way Olive makes money is by taking a portion of each sale delivered via Olive. On average, that cut is about 10%. After consumers sign up, they can install the Olive iOS app and or Chrome browser extension. Then Faust said, you can shop directly on the retailer and brand sites you normally would, and Olive assists you in that checkout process and automatically enters your Olive details, end quote. The products are sent to an Olive consolidation factory, where they're held for you and combined into weekly shipments. Because the retailers are still shipping products out like normal, all that packaging is still being used, but at least the customer doesn't have to dispose of it. And Faust said eventually Olive could work more closely with retailers to reduce or eliminate it. Until then, he said, the real environmental impact comes from the consolidation of deliveries into fewer last mile stops. The startup estimates that doubling the number of items in the delivery reduces the per item carbon footprint by 30%. The amount of waste in the form of packaging has become more evident since March 2020, when shipping for most everything moved online. Neil was quoted in Fast Company saying, two-day shipping prioritizes speed, so this means we're often getting a lot of packages containing individual products. One night I was taking out the trash and staring at the boxes on my curb and my neighbor's curb, and I thought, holy cow, how did we get here? We've reached a breaking point. As these environmental issues become more prevalent, brands have released new sustainability goals with plans to streamline packaging and introducing eco-friendly packaging options like rentable and refillable containers. In turn, brands and retailers have increasingly launched efforts to right the ship and remain in conscious consumers' good graces. I like the idea, but this is aimed towards people who buy a lot of clothes.
Yeah.
You got to buy a lot of clothes. Yeah.
Well, there's some shipping things that are just absolutely insane. Last night, I was picking up a cat package at, so in our apartment building, we have the lockers. So about, I would say between 5 and 7, all the delivery people show up. So it's a madhouse downstairs, which is awesome. Oof. And the amount of packages every single day is basically becoming like the holiday time. So basically in the lockers, and I know I'm kind of rammering on, but during the holidays, like gifts and stuff like that, it becomes really overwhelming. It's pretty much every day now. So those boxes, it's a lot of them. Like I save them because we sell stuff and we can, you know, reuse them and stuff like that. But amount of boxes, and The boxes don't bother me as much as the Amazon, the plastic ones, the plastic bags they use.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. And they'll put like a little, like a pen, and they send it out. And it's like, all right, guys, that's a little much. Let's figure this out.
Yeah. So I getting back to this Olive idea, he's got the right idea. I'm just wondering why this guy chose clothing, or if he's using it as a test to pivot into other things, because obviously the concept is great in that you want to reduce packaging and you want to consolidate deliveries. And we have a screenshot in our doc here. It's a nice little, looks almost to be like a soft-sided, almost looks like a soft-sided cooler with a lock on it. It's got a nice Olive logo. And obviously everything's got an app now. So you got the app, helps you, I guess, unlock it and find out if it's been delivered or whatever. The concept is great, but how many people are ordering this many clothes that this is going to be a viable thing? I have a feeling it's going to pivot to something else. That being said, I'm really been kind of on the bandwagon lately about the sustainable supplies. Like, instead of buying, you know, giant jugs of laundry detergent, which are mostly water, you'd instead buy the little packets or the strips. We bought this thing called Jell-O. Again, it was one of those things I just found random, probably a Facebook post or something. And instead of buying the big things of hand soap, they send you these little pods that look like the laundry pods. And you make your hand soap from there. We also get stuff. Bart, you turned me onto this place, Public Goods. They do the same thing with all their cleaning supplies. They sell you one bottle, but then if you want a refill, you get a tiny little tube full of detergent stuff that's water soluble, and you add it to water. And then we have True Earth laundry and strips and drops and places like that, which I think are going in the right direction. They're basically saying, use your own container. We'll sell you the juice that goes inside of it instead of all of this packaging and packaging waste, which I think it's really great, but I can't.
I'm here for that.
Again, how many clothes people buy?
This picture reminds me a lot of like the porch pirate preventative.
Right. How many stories we do on that, right?
That's what it reminds me of right now.
Yeah. So Olive is leaning on traditional design, digital acquisition marketing through YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as direct mail and outdoor ads as major outdoor marketings. They're starting with apparel because they're not the same expectation of speed. Ah, okay. So he's doing it. I think this is a test. I think this is a test or something else that you get in other categories because the items cost enough, the delivery economics still work out, even if you only one product in a week. All right. So basically what you say is, I ordered a sweater on Monday, I ordered a jacket on Tuesday, and the next Thursday I ordered another dress. You know, just send it to Olive and Olive will get it to me in one box at some point. You know, this isn't for someone who has that instant gratification problem. So this is only for a certain consumer. Pretty cool. Keep an eye on this one. All right. So we're going to close this one out. But Bart, we decided to do a new segment at the end of the show, lighten it up a little bit and talk about what's your favorite thing on the internet this weekend. Bart, I know that you found something. Why don't you share with us?
It's fantastic. So if you go to twitter.com/KFC, look at how many people KFC follows and look who they're following.
Yeah. Don't spoil it. So you have to go to KFC's Twitter account. See who they follow, read the names, and let hilarity ensue. Pretty funny. Yes, Bart showed that to me this morning. I had a good lull. All right, we're going to close this one up. Next week, guys, we all have to be prepared with our favorite things. So, you know, you got homework. All right, that's all for this episode. We'll be back next Friday to break down the week's e-commerce, tech, and retail news. And don't forget our long-form podcast, In the Ring, on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to be having some new shows. We've been on hiatus for a couple of weeks, but we're going to have a bunch of new shows coming up probably in the next 2 weeks. So look forward to that. Again, that's on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, Sumo Heavy, In the Ring with Sumo Heavy, whatever you want to type in, it'll all come up. Until then, we'll see you on the internets next Friday. Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.